Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As we make sense of another Steelers first round exit, this one to the hands of your arch rival in the game, like all of them, non-competitive. And then wake up to the news yesterday, Schefter saying, hey, teams want to trade for him, but the Steelers won't do it. Jerry Dulac pretty much put the same thing out in the Post-Gazette.
Pony, why would teams like Schefter insinuates their Saturday's result and be more inclined to call the Steelers about him? What in that game would say, yeah, we got to get that guy to be our coach and we're willing to give up assets to do it via trade? What am I missing?
Oh, they're overreacting. The Steelers are going to panic and deal him. And
do you play? Are you the owner of a team that actually only plays the second through fourth quarters? I mean, that doesn't even matter in this case because they got smoked in every quarter. When the Ravens tried, they buried them. Anyway, as you were saying.
Just the one comment there that I want to first comment on. Using what happened with Cowher late in his career as if it's some kind of hope that it could happen again. Bill had 3 years where he missed the playoffs, 98, 99, and 2000, and Ed Bouchette has told the story 1,000 times, and they gave him an extension and doubled down on him. Okay. Well, the next year, they went to the AFC Championship game, and Cordell got MVP votes. When Cordell went belly up the next year, they turned to Maddox, and he won them a playoff game, and they probably should have won
AFC
in Tennessee
title game that year, but for Joe Nedney.
Bottom fell out in 03. That's how they got Ben, and that's how Bill won his Super Bowl. They paired a great young quarterback with a defense that, get this, actually showed up in big games. So I don't see anything that even comes close to resembling that kind of light at the end of the tunnel. Mike Tomlin is now in an exclusive fraternity of coaches for dubious reasons. He now has 8 1-and-dones in the playoffs. That is second all time, God rest his soul, to Marty Schottenheimer, who had, I think, 10.
He's got a lot of similarities to Schottenheimer as a coach.
With this loss, he tied Don Shula for the third longest drought, playoff win drought, with one team. Shula the following year, by the way, went to the Super Bowl. I don't see that happening here. And then now the stat has gotten thrown around a lot. 28 head coaches have won a playoff game since the last win for Tomlin. They should trade him.
Who would, again?
Teams would want him because there are teams that would be fine with just making the playoffs.
Well, if you're a team that's willing to say to him, hey, we actually have a young quarterback we like, and you're also not allowed to bring in your own coaching staff, like, we just think we need a new
CEO.
What
a sales pitch.
Yeah, I know. No, I know. Hey, Mike, we think you do this, this, and this poorly, but everything else is great.
But the most important thing about football in 2025, which is how you relate to and how you handle a quarterback, we don't trust you to do any of that. But, hey, we'll pay you $20 million a year anyways to go about your business.
I just saw today, just one of the many NFL writers out there talking about Mike McCarthy and, like, running before, like, the announcement came that he and Dallas were done because they couldn't come to terms on another deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going through McCarthy's record and, like, listing the good and the bad. And the insinuation in the tweet was like, well, it probably is time to maybe let Mike McCarthy walk. And I'm thinking, these numbers and all these stats look better than Mike Tomlin's.
The only thing Tomlin has on McCarthy is that, well, two things. He has one more Super Bowl trip. He went to two. Mike's only been to one.
Mike beating him head-to-head and
true.
Mike's only won, probably a nice feather in that cap.
And Mike's floor is higher than McCarthy's. When McCarthy loses his quarterback like he did with Aaron Rodgers 1 year in Green Bay, and the Steelers took advantage of that in 17 and beat them. And then this
barely,
year...
They barely beat
Brett
Hundley.
And then this year, you know, they have a losing season when that happens. That's really the key difference. McCarthy, I think, is a better coach for today's NFL because he gets the offensive side of the game better. They were the highest scoring offense in the NFL in 2023, the Dallas Cowboys. Now, they crapped themselves in the playoffs, so in that respect, they're very similar. But you're right, the two guys should basically be talked about the same exact way
but
by the national media.
Only one gets talked about McCarthy gets, you know. It's starting to change slowly. Slowly.
The thing I don't get about the Steelers' insistence on Mike is that he now does not have the profile of the type of coach that they've won with. Noel was in his 40s when he won his Super Bowls. Bill was in his 40s when he won his Super Bowl. Mike's in his 50s now. Mm-hmm. He's not a young coach anymore. He's the longest tenured coach in the NFL. When you're in one place for as long as he's been, you take on power. You turn into more of a football czar. It doesn't get spread out evenly throughout the organization. You're making more money.
Your preferences and desires get baked into the process.
Yes, exactly.
You don't strip authority from a coach that's been around as long as the Steelers have had him around, because if and when you do, the coach just says, you know what, I'll walk.
I think the key, and I don't think this was necessarily true of when he won in 08, but this organization is just so badly in need of new ideas.
A new approach, a new philosophy, an acknowledgement that what they've been doing isn't working.
And people might, I think the comeback to that is, well, really, it just boils down to the quarterback. Get a good quarterback and all of your problems are washed away. But that new philosophy or new energy or new outlook, I think, helps you find and develop the right quarterback. I have no faith and what they're doing now and who they have in charge is going to be able to groom one or get more out of a player than the team that he like these reclamation projects, for example. I have no confidence that they would be able to do that with someone.
Why does anybody Tomlin think like Kirk Cousins would come here and somehow magically not be a guy who got benched this past year?
You can't allow yourself. I know fans are emotional and think with their heart more than their head sometimes. It's closer to game day. There's a playoff game on the horizon. They start to want to think that
anything
things will happen. Yes.
Anything can happen in the playoffs. Stranger things have happened. The Steelers beat the Colts after they got killed by them in the regular season.
It's this hoping as a methodology thing that they've now become synonymous with.
You're saying the organization itself.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's what fans are left with. It's not like their status or their place in the football ecosystem, like trying to climb the ladder to become a great team.
Yeah.
It's not based on anything they actually, it's not based on what they have. It's not based in, like, facts. It's not based in, okay, player X or unit Y, like this defense or this offense or this quarterback or this coach are going to be able to get us there.
There's nothing empirical.
Yes, exactly.
There's nothing objective. It's basically you can bleep in one hand and wish in the other.
And right, so I just don't think a coach who's been here with one team for so long is going to shake it up and turn into something different.
Tony, that's the real problem. That's the real problem. Does he or does anybody there, but really Mike, because he's not getting fired. So like when we always talk about that, I don't even feel like entertaining too much of that. People want to say he should be. That's fine. I agree. It should be. It's past time. But deal in reality for a second. He's not going anywhere. Does anybody think that he has any reason to feel like the way he did things this year is flawed? Because if you're Mike Tomlin, you know what you can easily tell yourself? We made it to the playoffs, we had a couple bad games, and we just had a bad game at the wrong time. He can rationalize his failures away very, very easily, particularly with no actual threat from the owner's box that he's going to lose his job.
I just think that there's such an opportunity here, given the teams that need coaches and would desire a coach who has the track record of never being bad. Not being good lately, but never being bad. Under contract for 3 more years, at least trying to get something done with the Bears or the Jets or somebody like that, and getting picks back that would help your team. And then I know that they don't have a quarterback answer, but their great selling point to any coach that they would hire is, look at how we treat our coaches.
We never fire you.
So
if you're good, you're going to have this job for 20 years if you want.
So Ben Johnson's taken all these interviews. I think he would automatically look at the Steelers as the best place to land because job longevity. They're going to give me power.
They're going to let me probably have a big hand in picking my next quarterback. I will get to design the offense.
If somebody was forward thinking in the owner's box,
he's terrified
of
the idea.
They would think of something like that.
He's petrified of the idea that he would be seen as the owner who traded Mike Tomlin.
Agreed.
Right? He's petrified. That supersedes any other voice that's telling him that this is a good idea.
So I brought that up, and you just brought it up too. You said of being seen as the guy that traded Mike Tomlin. Seen by who? And I hate to say this way, like his father and grandfather from the grave? Like
no, I think the rest of – I think like the national media – like the people that are still very pro Tomlin and because you know these people are still out there. You'll get a Kyle Brandt occasionally, or even Stephen A. Smith today was going after Mike. But the body politic here of national media types would be like, can you believe Art Rooney traded Mike Tomlin? The Chicago Bears, for example, just got an unbelievable coach.
But if they got if it's like the Sean Payton trade, and they get a first and second round pick from a bad team, and then hire somebody like Ben Johnson. I don't think the football cognoscenti is like, man, the Steelers are really off the rails. They've lost their way.
You would hope that there would be an open mind to, wait a minute, this might be the smartest thing they've done in 10 years at least.